Charlie and a few of their friends chug a couple beers and talk politics. It's better when you do beers in.
Hello, and welcome to Two Beers In, a tipsy political roundtable. I'm Cody Lindquist.
I'm Charlie Todd. How is everybody doing tonight?
Thank you guys for coming out in this monsoon.
This is the third show in a row we've had during a torrential downpour.
Torrential
downpour. We appreciate
downpour.
Our
We
loyal
live in Hell's
audience.
Kitchen, and we didn't want to come tonight.
No.
So thank you.
10-minute walk, and it was still unpleasant. We are a married couple. We host this show at UCB Theater every month. We love politics.
Yes.
And we love beer.
Yes.
And we love talking to smart, funny friends about politics while drinking beer. So we've been drinking beer backstage.
Yes.
We have a great panel tonight.
Who's excited about politics right now?
First response was eh.
We'll try to keep this. We'll try to keep this a fun show, even though politics can sometimes be not fun.
Yeah. So let's bring out our panel. Let's get the show started. If we can have a little panel music. Please welcome, he is a producer for Jesus and Marrow, Justin Tyler.
She is the author of the brand new book, For the Love of Men, Miss Liz Plank.
And he has written for Vulture, The Guardian, other publications. He sued Donald Trump and he won. Please welcome Nick Jack Pappas.
Yeah. What a great title to have as someone who sued Donald Trump and won.
I'm one of thousands.
Well, sure.
Well, don't belittle it.
Yeah. Also, you don't need to say that to like. We were really trying to pump you up. And
well,
then
let's
now
say
you're like,
we just now that we're talking about it. Why don't you explain it?
So I was one of the people who Donald Trump blocked.
Me too.
Yay.
So we share that.
The reason that you're unblocked is because we won our case against Donald Trump. So he had to unblock everyone because we won our case, and then he appealed and we won that case. So I've actually beat Donald Trump twice.
That's
amazing.
God. We could all be so lucky.
And what was the tweet? I'm so curious.
So this was back when the courts were kind of on our side. They blocked his Muslim ban.
Yeah.
And he said, the courts need to protect the American people. And I said, the courts are trying to protect the American people. They're trying to protect us from you.
Ooh, nice.
Wow, that hurt him.
That got
I assume you were just blocked for having a vagina, or
yes, that's exactly right.
Standard practice.
You know what? I don't have a good tweet story. Mine was really because when I got blocked, I got very nervous because who remembers like what they tweeted like yesterday? No one. And so when I got blocked, I was like, oh God, what did I like? Did I say something that's going to get me in trouble or fired?
Yeah.
And then I looked back at the what
do you get an email when he blocks you, or you went to his page? And you couldn't see it.
Well, I don't go to his page very often, but I was in my Twitter feed, and other journalists often quote tweet him with a little comment, and I was like, it was like tweet unavailable, and I was like, oh, whose tweet is unavailable? And then I went on his Twitter, and I said, this user has blocked you.
I haven't checked to see if I've been blocked.
Maybe you are blocked.
Maybe.
Everyone should check.
But no one is blocked now because of this lawsuit.
Yeah, that's true.
So he has unblocked people, but there are still people who are blocked. So Rosie is still blocked, and...
Rosie O'Donnell.
Okay, she.
We're on a first name basis.
Yeah, no, I guess when you're in a lawsuit together, it really
That's
connects you.
That's called class action, baby.
Yeah, they don't tell you the class has to sit together and befriend each other over the course
of the
proceedings.
Yeah, they get everyone in a room. Yeah.
So he's not allowed to block journalists, but he's allowed to block other people.
I guess so. So anybody who submitted a request became unblocked.
Okay.
Did you submit anything?
Yes, I was part of your petition. Yes.
Right. So if you petitioned, you were unblocked. But anyone who didn't petition,
gotcha.
Is still blocked.
So you have to ask to be unblocked, and then he has to unblock you. And Rosie just doesn't care.
Rosie doesn't care. Chrissy Teigen and others, you know,
They were happy with that.
Chrissy Teigen's like, I got recipes to make.
Yeah,
I don't have time for this shit. Not to belittle you guys for filling out the petition.
No,
I don't have any recipes to make.
I feel another block coming on.
Whoa!
Right.
So the debates were last night. Who in the audience, by a round of applause, watched the debate last night on CNN? A lot of people. Okay, not everybody, but
a
lot.
I think it's actually about like less than half of our audience.
Half.
Were there any candidates who appeared on the stage here tonight? Tom Steyer, maybe.
Tom Steyer's probably here.
Tom Steyer's tie is in the back.
Yeah,
Tom Steyer just bought the theater.
For those of you who didn't watch last night, this is a podcast, so I will describe it. Tom Steyer had a plaid tie. This is the thing you don't realize about menswear until
if it
you
wasn't
see
a podcast, would you have produced the tie for everybody to see?
Yeah, yeah. We don't really have the tie. But I was just fascinated. Like, you just think, oh, men have, like, boring outfits, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then he walked out. I was like, damn, I've never seen a plaid tie on a politician ever.
Well, you're saying you thought he looked good.
I just thought, sure, like, do it. Yeah.
It's a big choice.
He, like, put some effort, you know,
yeah,
which
just
he
like
love.
Yes.
But what about Andrew Yang, no tie guy?
But now he's just being repetitive. He needs a new thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, he's
I
got
like
the math button.
I like
right?
his math button. Yeah. It's yeah. cute.
Steyer yeah. should, or he should steal Steyer's tie.
That would be a bold move.
That would
power
be so
move.
Funny if the next debate, yes. Andrew Yang is wearing Tom Steyer's tie, and Tom Steyer is naked.
Wow.
Like just for heightening.
Yes.
So about 8 million Americans watched the debate on CNN. Right. I think maybe another 9 million started streams of it. I think it's less clear if they finished it. But so I don't know. That's not that many. It's not. It's about like the debate before this. One of the CNN Republican debates with Donald Trump in it 4 years ago had like 22 million. So I guess like a not a lot of Americans are tuning in. I'm curious if... I thought that the debate was a little boring, and I guess I can't really blame Americans for not dedicating 3 hours, because we host a political podcast and had to talk about this tonight. Cody and I have watched every debate since we've known each other. So
which
we,
is a long time, everyone.
This is
how relationships are built. Get yourself a man that watches the debates with you, girl.
Even VP debates?
Oh,
yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
VP debates.
Good.
That's like a
oh,
top
come on.
Four.
Yeah. Palin and
come
Biden.
On.
Oh, my come God. On.
I mean, that was a good one.
Classic.
Pence and who can name him?
Well, that's not.
Oh yeah, yeah. He speaks Spanish. It's Tim Kaine.
Tim Kaine, of course. That was a horrible one.
That one was pretty bad.
Yeah.
So, that was my main takeaway from the debate last night. That it was just kind of boring. And I guess the reason maybe it was boring for me because I've seen all the other ones, but I've seen the dance where Elizabeth Warren has to like. Not say that taxes are going about Medicare, and they all ask her the question over and over and over again for 10 minutes, and it's just kind of boring. What were you guys' key takeaways from last night?
I just feel like they need to be more creative. The moderators, to your point, I feel like it's like every debate has been the same, and I've not learned more things about each candidate each time because it's just, you know, they always ask the same questions, then they don't ask about climate change. That's
last
also part
night,
of the rules.
They asked if you have an unexpected friend.
Oh, well, that
was a
yes,
new question.
They asked about, that was maybe very they should cool. just do one with dumb questions like
I
that.
I felt so
you know?
Bad. Wait, who was it? Joaquin Castro? Who went first? Who went first?
Oh, yeah,
Julian
yeah,
Castro.
Julian Castro.
Oh boy, I thought no, guys, his brother actually snuck in. They have this thing where his brother switches in.
Commercial breaks.
Sometimes.
They give him a break.
Yeah, yeah.
Unfair. Unfair advantage.
But anyway, yeah, Joaquin Phoenix was there. Anyway, the Joker was giving the yeah. Anyway, I just thought I felt really bad for him. He was like, "Are you fucking kidding me? I'm ready to like answer these questions, and you're asking me like." You could see he was stalling. It was very
well. The other 11 people have like the last person has like 20 minutes to decide who their you know unexpected friend is.
Everyone's like John McCain. It's John McCain.
I'm disappointed. No one said I'm not here to make friends. I would have, and then that's it. That would have been again a power move, a really big power move.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing is like none of them are there to. They all have the same strategy all the time, which was like the last one was like let's get Joe Biden, and then they all went after him, and it was like oh. Elizabeth Warren this time, and it's just so. I don't know why they don't want to try to differentiate themselves.
It feels really desperate to me.
Yes.
Like it's just like, oh, we get it. You're going after Elizabeth Warren now because she's like quibbling about the word taxes. I mean, which also, like, Elizabeth, just say taxes are going up. Like,
she will be hung on that for the rest of
I
this
know.
Whole campaign.
And even the good moments, I get sick of hearing the good moments because it's the same fucking moment. Like Bernie, he was on fire. He did a great job, but I'm still like, I'm hearing this again. Like, I don't know. I'm just bored of all of it.
I mean, she burned Biden well in that moment with where he went after her and she was like, the thank you and all that. Like, that was great. So that's
you're
the
talking about when Biden sort of implied that he helped make the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
Yes, and she was
it was
like,
also just classic old like white man whining that he didn't get credit for helping. I was like, oh, God.
But her response of like, please. I would like to, she took a beat and she was like, I would like to personally thank Barack Obama for doing that. And it was like, oh, just like exposed him right there, killed the Jomentum. The Jomentum is Joeing right down the toilet. in a lot Joe of ways Manum. Here.
Hey, that's trademark Joe Lieberman from 2004.
Yeah. Joe Lieberman signed over all of his best zings to me, and I'm going to really use them. He's selling everything these days.
I do want to talk about I thought Elizabeth Warren did great, and it was maybe not her best debate. I actually think Bernie had his best debate ever.
After a heart attack, which I got to give him props for.
And I guess Elizabeth was more in the hot seat, and people were attacking her, so it's hard to have your best debate in that situation. But this is like the second or third debate where people have asked her for 10 minutes to clarify like whether taxes are going up. And the way Bernie explains it, like, why can't she just explain it that way? Like, yes, of course, you don't have to pay for health insurance anymore. Think about all that money. Now, pay less of it to the federal government. Like, you're not paying Blue Cross Blue Shield, you know, $500 a month.
I just lost interest in what you were saying. I'm so sorry.
It's not complicated.
I'm so sorry.
It's not complicated.
I just lost so much interest.
But it's more complicated for, I just feel like, is there going to be some Trump ad or soundbite or super PAC ad that shows her saying, yes, middle class taxes are going up?
Of course.
Yes, maybe. But like, I don't think it's a good look what she's doing now, which is just like dodging the question for 10 minutes. Now, I'm more mad at the moderator and the other Democrats on stage asking the same question for 10 straight minutes and not just like all recognizing why she's not answering it and moving on. But
the thing is, she cannot say, not give an answer for this whole thing. Her momentum, or Joe Momentum, as we're calling it, is trending up, and everyone else is going, either staying steady, Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden going down. Like, she can win on the current thing she's saying, and she can crush Trump in one-on-one. Like, her ability to like hammer on anyone, really. Like, the couple of weeks or the debate town hall, like,
yes,
a week ago.
LGBTQ. Oh my god.
The thing. If anyone can remember exactly what she said, she destroyed
Remember. So the guy asks, for people who have not seen it, you have to... It's basically Kate McKinnon becoming Liz Warren. Like, it's not even... She just went full Kate McKinnon. And so one man asks her, what do you say to people who say that marriage is between a man and a woman? Yeah. And so she answers, well, it's probably a man saying that. So I'd say, okay, marry one woman. And then everyone goes, whoa. And then she like walks towards Jake Tapper, whoever, you know, the hell is there. And then she like looks back and then waits and goes, wait, what does she say? She
said, if you can find it.
Yes, if you can find one. Ooh. And then it's just like the comedic timing.
And then she dropped the mic.
Yes, she dropped the sunglasses. Yes. That's sunglasses. Like in sketch.
Marco
UCB
Rubio
classes,
was not happy with that
sketch.
Though. I thought she was really disrespecting people's Christian faith.
Yo, truly. Marco Rubio can go. Fuck.
Did he really say that?
Yeah, he
what
tweeted
a loser.
Something. I mean, wait, this is the straw that makes us all think he's a loser.
God. I finally lost respect for Marco Rubio.
What so you guys? Speaking left. Of jokes and timing, what did you guys think about Amy Klobuchar's zingers last night? Some pretty good.
I don't remember any of them. She had zingers.
They were horrible. I mean, what? I don't remember them either. But
she made one comment about her father was an alcoholic and is in recovery. You know, is now in his 90s, and he made a comment like. And he said to me, Amy, you can't get good alcohol here anyway, in the old folks' home. And then she basically it was like that, where no one laughed. Everyone was like, okay.
Well, and she had the comment where it was like, even the billionaire on stage is against billionaires.
That was a winner.
The only reason he was on stage is because he's a billionaire. Right. So
she's like an open micer who does like one show a month and is like, I think I got this. Comes out, delivers her zingers, and like, I think one of those landed. And
but
no one
has worked harder on those zingers than anyone else there.
The horrible
She's
thing
been
is,
working nonstop.
You know that
the
she
singers.
Was in an improv group in college.
No.
Yes.
Holy no.
It's like she's a secret comedian. I think that she. No. Does, I think those zingers are not prepared. I think she just has them. I think
she needs
you
to come on the
have
show.
Her on
we, Amy, when we would she, love to have
know,
Amy.
Drops
on.
Out.
We keep
on.
Talking to her people, and they're not responding.
Or the rest of the improv group, who are maybe not as busy, I suspect. They would come out and just.
I don't think improv was invented when Amy.
You know,
the show.
She was one of the original UCB four.
Yeah, that's right.
She was the original. She was Amy Poehler.
Best ever replaced her. Yeah.
So I have another. So another. Person we haven't talked about yet is Tulsi Gabbard. I'm curious if anybody in the panel can explain Tulsi to me. Mm. Why is she still around? She likes Syria. Like, what are the conspiracy theories on her? Is anybody up to date on what her deal is, Nick?
Well, I didn't know what a Russian bot sounded like in real life until I saw Tulsi Gabbard at that debate. She sounds very robotic. She seems like she's against the impeachment. I think she just caters to the 1 or 2% who want her to be there, and that's it. So,
who are those people? Are they Republicans, or are they like weird?
Yeah,
are they
Trump
people?
Even David Duke said he loves Tulsi Gabbard.
Really?
Yes. He tweeted that.
Why? Why does
he
like her?
The last person he loved became president.
is she angling to be the liberal on the five?
I don't have
the five. Yeah.
They need a
liberal. Juan Williams' job.
They need a liberal on
Juan
the five.
Juan Williams does look like he's slowly turning. He's slowly like Indiana Jonesing into the Skull Man.
He's like, I can't
drink the wrong.
Every time I hear a new fact about her, I become more terrified. Last night, I learned on Twitter, so I might be wrong, but I think it was right. She supports the Indian Prime Minister in India.
Modi.
That is Modi, like insane, like just ethnic cleansing Muslims in India. So I thought that was, and he's like the way he's been described to me is he's Trump, but if Trump was really smart, which is very terrifying, very terrifying.
Oof. I also, she had some real backward language on abortion. Everyone was like, yeah, abortion obviously should, you know, women's right to choose. And she's like, well, we need to have restrictions for those slutty girls that like to fuck with no consequences.
Mm-hmm. But that's not what she said. She talked about the third trimester.
She said verbatim, we need to have consequences for the slutty girls who like to fuck. She said that on the
stage. That's a quote.
And people were asleep by then because it was at the end of the debate and everyone just tuned out. But she said it.
She said it in the part about her friends.
She said it, guys. Google it.
Yeah, about which friends.
Well, let's talk about friends because the friend that she said she has was Trey Gowdy, which, like, who is friends with Trey Gowdy?
Wow. The only people that are talking about Trey Gowdy lately is everyone sharing those memes of his haircuts. That's like, he's trending because he's had some real
he's
crazy
a hair,
hair
shark.
Confusingly bad hair.
My favorite part about Tulsi in the debate is she decided that she wanted to become one of the moderators. So she was just like, Elizabeth Warren, I have a question for you. And I'm like,
she got away with that once, and the second time, you know, Aaron Burnett or whoever was just like, nope, you don't get to ask Elizabeth Warren a question.
And then she kept saying, like, and I hope, Justin Tyler, you'll join me right now and agree that, and then she would say something crazy. She did it like twice, like she was trying to get people to like, I don't know. It was very weird.
Everyone was like, "What? Just say your full name again. I'm so sorry. Just say your full name so I can remember. Let me check my note cards because I don't remember all of the things.
So what did everybody think about Joe Biden's performance?
It's not going well.
It's not great, right? I mean, he's not my pick, but if you'd asked me like a year ago, like, would you be excited if Joe Biden was president? Of course. I mean,
I'll
be excited if any of those 12 people, except maybe Tulsi. No, I would still prefer Tulsi over Trump. But, you know, I think only 8 million people are watching these debates, and I think the people that are watching the debates realize that he doesn't have it. And I think the reason why he's 30% or whatever and still in the lead or almost in the lead is because of people who just don't pay attention, don't watch the debates, don't watch anything, and just remember that guy was vice president when Obama was president, right?
I think my biggest problem with Joe Biden is he's like the epitome of old man masculinity. His main point is that he says he can beat Trump like a drum. And then with Elizabeth Warren, he tries to take credit for the work that she did. And I think that we're done with old man masculinity. We need someone.
We want to be.
Yeah.
Liz? Any thoughts?
You wrote a book about this. Masculinity. Oh my God, I have so many thoughts. I think that you're exactly right. I think to most people in America, I mean, what's 9 million out of the entire American population? What percentage of the population is that? Come on, I'm Canadian.
4%?
I'm not allowed
anybody
to know.
Andrew
not supposed
Yang
to know.
Pin wearers here? You want to drop some
anyway,
math?
I'm going to say 3 or 4%.
Right, and so I think to a lot of people, he's just, you know, still the Joe Biden that they knew before he, I don't know what's been going on. I think it's too much for him. But the thing that I want to say is that the thing, like the gaffes are definitely, and I'm doing little bunny ears quotes, here for the people listening.
Air quotes,
Air quotes. His, they're called bunny ears in Canada. Yeah. But, so the gaffes, which are really bad, if he were to end up being the nominee next to Trump, those are tiny little blunders, right? And so I wonder if we are, of course, comparing him to Elizabeth Warren, who's like, the Olympian of...
She's a killer.
She's so much... I met her like a couple years ago. She has so much energy, more than like a 9-year-old cheerleader. Like, it's just...
Wow.
Do 9-year-olds Are they cheerleading? Is that allowed?
It's an early age to get into it, but yeah.
I don't know.
You've got to have a lot of energy as a 9-year-old.
You've got to really get started early on that.
This is really specific. Anyway, she has a lot of energy, and she's, what, 70, 69, in her 60s, which is incredible.
And women live longer than men. That's what I keep telling Charlie. So she's 70, almost 70, but she's really like almost 60 if you compare her to the other men on stage.
Well, but I think the energy is the big difference maker, because all the rest of those candidates are trying to raise their energy and be like, I can hang. She's the one who's literally just trying to keep it all down because she wants to yell at everyone ideas and burns. And that's what we want fucking need to beat
ideas
this.
And yeah.
And it's...
Bernie has good energy, too.
I think it's very...
For a man that had a heart attack last week, he had good energy.
I mean, yes.
That's true.
He literally walked out of the hospital and was like, where's the debate stage?
But what, that's
where's
the asterisk?
The debate stage?
That's the asterisk we have against him. Like, he lost both of his arms, but he's still debating. He seems to be just a head in a bowl, but he's still talking. I think he's got this.
Age is, like, we use age a lot to talk about, like, fitness for office. Joe Biden is the only one out of all of them that I'm like, boyfriend needs to take a walk. Needs to just go.
He cannot get through an answer or really a sentence without having to saying the wrong word and correcting
and just going,
himself.
I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, and next. He's also the only person that like really rigidly respects the time limits. Like, I think there's a red light on his podium that he can see that we can't, but every debate, he's like, I'm going over. All right, I'm going to stop. You know, my time's up, he said the first debate.
I just doesn't want it. I think he's like, guys, I'm here for you.
Right.
We all want to beat Trump. Just give me the nomination, and I'll get the right people in place, and it'll just be back to
he barely attacks either. Like, you know? He's just like, they told me I'm supposed to say this. Their plans don't add up.
He's winning, so he's like, let's just keep it just like it is and coast. And like, he's praying for that red light so he can stop talking. Because the more he says, the worse it gets for him.
It's just he needs like to end sentences, you know, before he goes into the racist part.
I also think he's sort of like, you know, like the best case scenario of everyone's grandpa is that they're a little sexist, they're a little racist, but they want to do better. They're like, I get it. You're all like women or men now or in the middle. I don't know. Whatever your kids are doing, I get it, but I don't. You know what I mean? So he's not like the super racist or sexist grandparent that's like, you kids don't know what you're doing. He's like, just tell me what to say. I don't, whatever you guys say, I don't get it.
Can you imagine the youngest person working on his staff who's like, okay, buckle up, Joe, because we got to talk for 4 hours today about everything that's happening in the world in the last 40 years. But I can't, on the other side of it, like, Donald Trump can't say things.
Which is why I don't want to run somebody against him that also can't say things. But, like, that seems like an easy bar for compare and contrast. I think like pretty much everybody else on that stage last night says complete sentences without having to correct themselves. So,
but I think this is a classic.
By the way,
situation.
Trump doesn't correct himself; he just plows through, which is very different.
And this is a classic situation where there's no. Conservative version of this podcast are like, I mean, they should really talk to Trump about saying full sentences. Like, no, that we're the ones who are like very specific about things, and everyone else is gathered around their conservative candidate.
So let's talk about Trump's language in the context of the letter that just got leaked pretty late this afternoon. I don't know if everybody in the audience saw it or not, but there was a letter that he wrote to Erdogan of Turkey that I don't know if it got leaked. They released it. And by the way, there's already suspicion that maybe they played with the dates on it, and maybe it's fake, who knows. But the White House says this letter is real, but it's a letter that Trump wrote to Erdogan, I think like the day after he had the famous phone call with him where he said, like, yeah, sure, we're going to get out of Syria and do what you want to do. But it's embarrassing. It's really, really embarrassing. The language, it's
Trump? Come on, Charlie.
More than normal, because it's...
I feel like
it's,
you're being hard on
how
the old
dare
dude.
He's type, our president.
It's the grammar and sentence structure. It's like the fifth grade reading level that he displays on Twitter, and it's to, you know, another head of state. Do you have it on your phone? Do you want to read it, Nick?
Yeah. I would love to read it. You want me to read the whole thing?
Read the good
who
part.
Who has seen this letter?
Read the dramatic
part.
Reading.
All right.
Hit the sweet spot.
And I will say, friend of the pod, Anthony Antemanek, also did a lovely reading online, which everyone should check out, too. Not that you're not
I am not going to do it as well as Anthony
really
did.
Really set a standard for Nick here.
This is not going to be in a Trump voice because I can't do that. But, dear Mr. President, let's work out a good deal.
Exclamation point.
You don't want to be responsible for slaughtering thousands of people, and I don't want to be responsible for destroying the Turkish economy. And I will. I've already given you a little sample with respect to Pastor Brunson. I have worked hard to solve some of your problems. Don't let the world down. you can make a great deal. General Maslin is willing to negotiate with you, and he is willing to make concessions that they would never have made in the past. I'm confidentially enclosing a copy of his letter to me just received. History will look upon you favorably if you get this done. It will look upon you forever as the devil if good things don't happen. Don't be a tough guy. Don't be a fool. I will call you later. That's it.
It's so weird. It ends with, don't be a tough guy, exclamation mark. Don't be a fool, exclamation mark. I'll call you later.
I mean, really, the best case scenario for Democrats is that Trump somehow loses his voice and has to write out all of his thoughts, and people have to read them. And if they read them, if you read anything that he writes or says, like a transcript of anything, you're like, something's wrong with him.
These are complete sentences that
have... Yeah, because clearly somebody helped him. Somebody like transcribed it and was like,
but if you do transcribe him just when he talks, like it is complete garbage.
But also, this is like literally like I was just looking through some of my old journals from when I was.
Oh shit! Hold on, buckle up. Can we get a spotlight on her?
And I brought them with me. No. But it is like these journals that I wrote in middle school, where you know, it's just like the way he's talking about it.
It's so simple,
but.
Come make good deal. Don't slaughter people. Call later.
I think there's no way that this is... I think they released this. I think he thinks this is cool. And that is the most embarrassing part.
Well, the most embarrassing part is I bet his supporters think this is cool. They're like, I would have written that letter.
He did what he could. He took the people out, and there you go. What really bothers me about the... I mean, there's so many things. What does really bother me? But for him to say to his supporters, who, again, people just don't have the time to pay attention the way we do it to every little fucking twist and turn, and there's so many twists and turns. People don't have the time to pay attention, understandably. They have three jobs. They're taking care of kids, you know, whatever. But to his people, they're just like, well, wait, why? He said he was bringing troops home. Great. He brought the troops home. It's like, this isn't the same as just, we're not in a war zone. This is 1,000 troops that are protecting people, that are keeping ISIS prisoners safe, that are like, these are peacetime like troops. They're making sure nobody fights. And now we just take them out quickly, then people fight, and the whole, you know, we have refugees and it.
As a counterpoint to that, though, I do think this move flies in the face of conservative media's story about him. And I think they're having a hard time fixing this mistake for him.
Yeah.
Because they're like, macho, we go in there, we fucking run shit, we stay until the job's done. And it was like, oh no, we left and everything's fucked up. We literally ran away. Like, people who are in the military or were in the military or who have family in the military are, this is very bad.
There's Russian troops walking around American bases like...
Making
like
comedy videos.
Taking selfies, yeah.
Yeah.
That video was this dude in a Yankees hat that I think he took from the base and just walking around being like, they were here yesterday, and now we're here.
Yeah. But
the Logan Paul of Russia is running shit over there.
I mean, this is the only
thing.
That's
so scary. The Logan Paul of Russia.
That dude's probably dead, honestly.
Terrifying.
That dude was murdered a long time ago.
This is the only thing that has broken through on the other side. This is the only thing since Trump was elected that Republicans have stood up and said... No, we're like Lindsey Graham, his fucking best friend, Lindsey Graham, who excuses everything away, has stood up and said, I don't agree with you
but
on
it's,
this.
But it's
not it's doing anything.
You know, Lindsey was whining all day about it, and it's weird, though, that, like, Trump's, like, pushback was like, Lindsey Graham wants to have war in the Middle East for hundreds of years. He wants us involved in other countries' business for hundreds of years in the Middle East. I agree with that. And yeah. I hate Lindsey Graham for that, too. And it is, like, a weird, complicated, like... Everything started backwards. Now, it's clear that we shouldn't have taken away these troops like rashly because of one phone call and one stupid letter, and it's causing a slaughter, and it's this awful, terrible thing. But it's weird and complicated because, Elizabeth Warren last night was saying that she doesn't think we should be in the Middle East at all, I think she said.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people have said, like, there are ways to get troops out. You don't just unilaterally remove everybody from one fucking phone call because that's chaos. Like, right now, we had 2,000 troops there, and now we have 1,000 troops there. Like, there are ways to
to stably do things without just like sending a tweet and fucking everything up.
No, I think everyone running out of the country is the best way to leave.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Like, leaving the microwaves going with dinner, just run away. And they're like, hey, ISIS guys, later.
I mean, Julian Castro had the great line last night of like, you know, he's jailing kids at the border, but he's, you know, ISIS people are getting out of jail. Like, that's that's a good line.
Joaquin Phoenix is really pissed about that too.
Oh my God. And his whole thing is being a tough guy, right? So I went to so many Trump rallies for work to report, and actually I'm going to share a comment that one very famous Trump supporter told me. Remember the rally where he called Ted Cruz a pussy? And then actually he repeated, a woman yelled at it and he repeated it, which doesn't make it okay. I found the pussy lady. I was the only reporter that found her. I'm waiting for my Pulitzer. And so I go over to her and I'm like, why are you voting for Trump? And she said, because he has the balls the size of watermelons.
It's true. That's quote.
A good thing. That's a medical
a good
fact.
Thing.
Yeah.
And
that's
then she seems like
he needs medication.
His doctor has published.
He needs to drain. Because a lot of the weight he lost with the fake doctor examining him was ball weight.
And he tucks those watermelon balls up into his gut, which is why he has the...
He's in pain all the time from having his balls that high.
He keeps them up with scotch tape.
Exactly. Scotch tape. He won't use any other tape because he's from Scotland originally. Ancestors from Wisconsin, so he uses scotch tape.
So what else did Pussy Lady say?
Basically, she went into a whole commentary about, like, Marco Rubio has the balls the size of grapes, and then Ted Cruz has the balls the size of raisins. God. This you can look up the article. It is true. I have it on my iPhone as a voice memo. Anyway, the point is... later, we can talk about it later. The point is that... his masculinity, right, and his tough guy, like, I'm going to take on all these people. I'm going to take on terrorism. I'm going to take on, you know, all these, like, you know, he's feeding into racist ideas that white Americans have about the danger out there, about black people even and brown people even in this country. But so for him to say, I'm pulling out, like, I'm not even going, like, it's such a kind of a feminine act,
quote
unquote. And I think that's why Fox News is like, you know, that he's going against the whole idea.
It's not a good look to have, you know, ISIS getting out of jail. It's not good.
Yeah, but
his line of like, it's no big deal. They're just going to go back to Europe. Like, they're just going to kill a bunch of Europeans.
Right?
Like, that's not good.
Yes, he was they just want to go to Europe. They'll just go back to Europe. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? Guess what we have in Europe? Planes that go to New York.
Also, Europeans who are going to die.
Oh, like, right.
That's also bad.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
I forgot.
I'm proud to say I think we're 4 to 8 years away from candidates having to actually weigh their balls before they take the podium.
Thank you.
Hopefully that's the future we deserve.
This disgusting obsession with, like, it's so weird that he toes this line between being like, I'm going to literally obliterate you, and also just like, I want to get out. Like,
being best friends with dictators, right?
Like, I know. Yeah. Well, he likes dictators because they're masculine and they just fucking...
Well, to add on the masculinity thing, he's unwilling to ask for help. If he asked any of his advisors what he should do, they would tell him not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But he just decided to do it himself unilaterally. Mm. And this is why he's in so much trouble now.
And don't you think, like, the White House right now is the perfect example of why the patriarchy is a pyramid scheme? Like, that Donald Trump is totally winning so far, and all of the men who... Am I doing something?
Your mic is
yes? Okay. It works. Keep that in. And so, what was I saying?
Patriarchy is a pyramid scheme.
So I, you know, all of these men are, you know, like Lindsey Graham, like obviously Corey Lewandowski, right? All of these dudes have been just playing to the culture and to the pure male culture and just, you know, yes manning him basically. Mm-hmm. But all of these men are either now like in prison or like, you know, Rudy Giuliani, like having indictments coming, or they're on Dancing with the Stars.
Yes.
Yeah. Sean Spicer. Yeah.
Wearing that like
sequins.
Wearing a lot
which is arguably not masculine.
Wearing a Woody costume from Toy Story.
Yes.
Ruining the character of Woody for future generations.
A lot of people. Yeah.
Liz, you brought up Rudy Giuliani.
I'm sorry.
And this is just a natural transition to talking about America's mayor, Rudy Giuliani.
America's male, I think we talked about. Male. The top of the pyramid.
He's,
the most
is
masculine.
The top. Oh, yeah. He's getting all the benefits. He's
we
super
all know
respected.
Rudy is so masculine. So wonderful. So I'm really fascinated. So Rudy Giuliani has said that he will not respond to the subpoena. So he's just not going to comply. And he's, you know, just going to be like, fuck you. I got a subpoena and fuck you. This is at the same time that Felicity Huffman is now spending 14 days in jail.
I think she was just reduced by one day.
Of course, probably, because she
days.
Showed Good up behavior. Or whatever.
Is that real?
I think that is real. Yeah, so we were talking about 13. That today at work, that they cut her sentence to 13 days.
Why? What's the reason?
I don't know, but what a great...
Because she's 7% reduction.
This is what pisses me off. All of this week, I was like, fuck this. Felicity Huffman gets to decide when she wants to go to fucking jail. White people get sentences, and then the judge is like, just, you know... Do what you need to do, and then just show up when you're ready for your 13-day sentence. Like,
emotional.
Are you fucking kidding me?
It's an emotional jail.
We all know
jail.
People that have gone to jail, and the judge says you're guilty, and you go to fucking jail immediately. And no, like, it's like a fucking chaos, whatever. And people go to jail. People go to jail for not paying parking tickets because they can't afford them. Like, there's so many fucking reasons people go to jail. White people, rich white people, get to decide when they go to jail. Or, like Rudy Giuliani, don't go to jail. They just say, fuck you, I'm not going to respond to a congressional subpoena. And he doesn't go to jail? Like, put his fucking ass in jail.
Or at least arrest him during a Yankee game.
Thank you.
Let's arrest him during a playoff Yankee game.
I am so sick of
while
this discussion.
While he's being booed, which happens.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, oh, just seventh inning stretch. If you don't want to break the game, just do it at a time when the vendors are giving peanuts out to people. Like, let's find a time when we can make it part of the game and drag him across the field like a pitcher who did a bad job all the way to the bullpen in the back where there's a car that takes him to a real jail, not one of the Felicity jails.
That's a good idea. I'm just so pissed that we have this discussion about whether or not white privilege exists and, like, income inequality. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? Just look at how people are treated differently. Go to fucking jail. If a judge tells me that I didn't do what they said I was supposed to do, I'm going to jail immediately because I'm not a celebrity unless they listen to this podcast, and then maybe they'd give me a grace period to, like, you know, get my nails done and whatever.
Oh, definitely finish your podcast before you go to jail.
I'm not going to jail till this podcast is done.
Honestly, jail would be a great place for podcasts to happen. There's so much time.
Why has no one recorded a podcast
like it's
in jail?
It's very easy to podcast from jail.
You just got to smuggle in that podcast equipment into
the
jail.
An expensive smuggle.
If you're rich, it's probably already there.
I think I heard someone in the audience like, there's already a podcast from jail, so it's... There is, obviously.
That's
so
cool.
So speaking of people who don't follow the rules and have no consequences, I wanted to take it back to Trump's Twitter account briefly because there was a weird moment in the debate last night where for some reason Kamala Harris was like really, really trying to get Elizabeth Warren to say that Trump should be kicked off Twitter. And I'm not really sure why she asked that question 10 times. And I'm also not sure why Elizabeth Warren didn't just say yes or no. She didn't answer. It was a weird moment between both of them that like occupied a lot of time.
But we didn't have time to talk about climate change, so cool.
Yeah, so can anybody explain that moment to me? Like, why?
I think Kamala's struggling to have a platform. I think across the board, I don't know what she, and I fall for it too. Like, she seems like a great candidate. She seems like someone who is like going to get out there and fight. She like got Joe Biden so hard where it's like, oh, I could see her getting Trump
If I could pick anyone from that stage to debate Trump, I would pick her.
Right, exactly. But also, what does she stand for? Nothing, almost? I don't know what it is. She's good. She seems like she's the PR front candidate where she doesn't have anything underneath to back it up. And it's odd because
you think her opinions have changed over time? Or
her opinions?
Yeah.
What are they?
Well, she said lots of them last night.
Yeah?
Well, she's for Medicare for most people or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Medicare for most people or whatever. I'm Kamala Harris, and I'm for Medicare for most people or whatever.
She 2020. Did say, dude's gotta go, which is her.
Dude's gotta go was a good line.
Dude's gotta go.
I like that.
I think she's trying to sort of draft on the Joe Biden strategy of like, I'm doing all right. I'm in the middle as opposed to... I'm not like Andrew Yang or even Beto where it's like
this
feels struggle.
Can we talk about the middle thing? This is one thing that pissed me off the most from the debates last night. Democrats sell out their fucking liberal base. Like, listen, I think you should go in balls to the wall, huge watermelon-sized balls to the wall.
Let's definitely keep talking about that size ball.
Why don't we always go in with the compromise position? Like, why are we always yelling at them for going... Like, Donald Trump went in and said, you're going to get the best health care ever, and it's going to be so cheap. And no one said, but how are you doing that? Yeah. Everyone just went, woo, yeah. So why can't we just say the most liberal position, which is Medicare for all, and then if we end up with a public option instead in the middle, nobody's going to be like, fuck you, you only got the public option, dipshit. Like... No, like start with your... Why are we always starting in the middle? Because we're going to get nothing. If we're Amy Klobuchar's positions, we're not going to get anything. Yeah. If we go in saying, well, we'd like maybe some changes to Medicare, I don't know, anyway, then we're going to get fucking nothing, which is what we always get.
Klobuchar is like a Pokemon that you can never find.
I don't understand that reference.
Well, one of Joe Biden's youngest staff member will look it up for you and tell you about it.
Thank you. My 5-year-old likes Pokemon, so.
I think the issue is Democrats
You do explain that. You mean that she's a no one exists? Her constituency doesn't exist?
No, I mean her name sounds like a Pokemon name.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Klobuchar. Got to find the Klobuchar. Thank you for thinking I had a strong position behind
not
that.
Not a metaphor.
I'm the Kamala Harris of that joke.
Not a metaphor, just a pun.
I just have
guys,
nothing underneath
Pokemon
it.
Go to the polls.
Hey! I think Democrats always make the mistake of thinking the voters we need are the center voters. We got to get those center voters. And it's like a lot of those center voters are actually Trump voters who are embarrassed by it. And they say that they're going to, I don't know what, I'm an undecided. And it's like you already
they don't
have
really,
you have a Trump fucking shrine
right.
in your
Those vote. Voters don't really exist. They're like a Pokemon you can't find.
Gail, thank you for fixing that.
Election rest on like 20 people in Wisconsin? Like who are that center voter?
Yes, in a way. Yeah. But I think the real way the Democrats can win is what Cody's saying. Is get new voters, get young voters, get people who haven't voted for before but are terrified of everything in their lives, and you have to drag them out of their their atheism toward politics because they're like, nothing ever changes. And if someone, and I think that's why Elizabeth Warren feels right, because she feels like she can capture energy and barely restrain it until she has to literally Pokemon blast. She has to Charizard Donald Trump in October.
I know Charizard. I know that one, Justin.
Well, this is the ultimate question of 2020. Who's more important, the center voters or young millennials who haven't voted before? And millennials are the biggest generation. I don't know if people realize that, but they're bigger than the baby boomers right now. And they're not going to be excited by someone who is a centrist candidate.
And you mean they're not running out to vote for Amy Klobuchar?
I don't think so. I'm not even sure if they're running out to vote for Joe Biden.
Maybe Mayor Pete. I think of the centrist, maybe Mayor Pete. Just because of his bio, because he's gay,
so
because he's young, because he is a millennial.
I was like, come on.
Older voters really love him. That's what one of the stats I was kind of surprised by.
I like him a lot, but then I just feel like he's been like, you can't get that. We're going to go for the middle road. I was like, all right, dude.
He's a real Dennis
the Menace. He just felt like the guy that was running for class president that were like, we're going to vote for you, but you're trying so hard.
He's not a Dennis the Menace. He's a Mr. Wilson.
You're right. He's a Mr. Wilson and Dennis the Menace clothing. I just feel like he's a guy who's at the end is like, ain't I a stinker? Ain't I a scamp? I'm real young and fresh over here. And it's like, no, you're saying very old person things. And that's why I feel
that's
like...
That's what I meant. He was saying old... anyway.
And it's like, not to be ageist, but he's secret old.
Well, there was somebody unearthed a tweet of his today where in like 2018, he like pledged that he loves Medicare for all. He was like, Pete Buttigieg hereby declare that I support Medicare for All, because somebody was trying to get him on the record saying it, and he said it, and then he changed that. You said the word atheism earlier.
Charlie's favorite part of the debate.
And I have
night.
To bring something up from the debates that I forgot to put in our outline for tonight, but you reminded me, which is, did anybody see the Ron Reagan commercials during? It happened twice during the debate, at least twice.
No, everyone fast forwards through commercials.
Right. Commercial? But when you're watching something live, you have to.
As a commercial actress, I beg you all, please watch the commercials.
But Ron Reagan is an atheist, which I didn't know. This is Ronald Reagan's son. He's like, I'm an atheist. It was just great commercial where Ron Reagan was just like to donate money to freedomfromreligion.com or whatever. I wasn't familiar with it. But he ends the commercial with like, I'm Ron Reagan. I'm not afraid of burning in hell. it was a great line. But it was done really, it wasn't weird. It was done really well. I'm not afraid of burning in hell either.
It wasn't weird. It played super well.
No, it did, to me at least.
Charlie, it was like Christmas for Charlie. It was like, this is great.
No, but I thought it was interesting, one, that Ronald Reagan's son is an atheist. Two, that he's advertising in this Democratic debate as a spokesperson for an atheist organization. And it was funny that he ended it that way. But I don't know. It also just made me laugh because, like, if you are an atheist organization, you want to target people, the Democratic debates is a pretty good audience. Those 8 million people have a lot of atheists in their ranks.
What is an atheism organization doing? Are they just like, hey, stay out of that church, idiot?
Yeah.
Well, I would say that it's doing things like, probably reproductive rights, probably stem cell research, probably all of the bullshit that religion ruins in our country.
But I would say to call, yes. Yeah. But call your organization that stuff rather than atheism organization.
It's not that. That's not what it's called. That's not what it's called. It's called Freedom From Religion. And the pitch, to give the full pitch, the last thing was about burning in hell, but the full pitch was...
It was a joke
about
Charlie's. The about Charlie's of the world.
This organization...
I'm not afraid of burning in hell.
This organization supports the separation of church and state as our founders designed the country to be. That was the pitch. And then at the end, it was, I'm Ron Reagan, and I'm not afraid to burn in hell. It was very fun.
Well, that's why I was inspired by Kristen Sinema winning. Is because she's the first.
She's an atheist, right?
She's an atheist.
Yeah.
And this is one segment of the population.
She's gay
that
too, right?
No one is willing to talk to. Like, there's not a politician besides Kristen Sinema who will come out as an atheist.
Yeah. I leapt off of my couch watching Obama's inauguration when he mentioned non-believers in his inauguration speech.
Honestly,
it is like
as
really.
As non-believers, it's frustrating when people. People talk about faith and religion. They will talk, if you're Jewish, if you're Muslim, like if you really are a person of faith, they will look at you and say, like, I can get behind you. But if you say that you're a non-believer or you're not religious, it is like you are proclaiming that you think the devil is the fucking end of the world. Like, it is, people feel bad for you.
Well,
like,
I mean, anyway. Evangelicals have ruined the country. Like, atheists are better Christians than evangelicals right now.
Yeah, that's right. Clap that out.
Here's a question. How many people on that stage tonight, of those 12 people, do you think are atheists? How many people don't
Andrew
believe
Yang,
in God?
For
Yang,
sure.
There's no way. There's no way you're wearing the math, which, by the way, means make America think again. There's no way that Andrew Yang.
Oh, that would be Matt.
Yeah. Well, so what is it? Make America think. Harder. Thank you.
No, that pin is thinking too hard. Like, we don't need that. Pins? Oh, too old. What are we pins?
They should have like more. Like, it's always the tie or the pin. Like, why don't they have tiaras or like shoulder pads?
No one brought this up, but Amy and Elizabeth were both wearing purple suits. Now, guys, who wore it best?
Oh, I didn't even notice.
Actually, Liz, this one thing I did want to bring up and talk to you about. Okay, so last week, the Washington Post did an article about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez getting a fucking haircut that cost
$80.
That cost $80. And also, she got highlights for $180. Now, I read this story and thought, where?
That's a deal, girl.
That's a deal. That is a fucking deal.
Yes.
And then this whole thing was about how she was out of touch. So I have two questions for you. One, does socialism mean that I can't fucking get my roots done? Because I was confused. I'm a democratic socialist, but if it means I can't get my roots done, I'm out.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Erasing your roots.
Listen, I have been a redhead in quotes for a few years. It is a difficult maintenance situation.
No, it's...
And two, maybe you could describe a little bit about the pink tax and the double standard between women and men and how much it costs for us to exist in the world. Because again, I just walked on here effortlessly with this gorgeous blowout and my red roots, and you're just like, whatever, girls. Mm-hmm. But guess what? It takes a lot.
I walked in here nude and found clothes.
There you go.
I'm a man.
Male privilege right there in action. Yes, so one of my favorite things about this weekend is like, so Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez got a haircut, and then Scott Walker, for example, was like tweeting his like, you know, $21 haircut
it's
with
the
tip.
Worst fucking hair. I mean, he's like, it's not Trey Gowdy, but he's got bad hair.
Maybe
he's bad
needs
hair.
To spend a little more on his haircut.
Which also, can I just say, my son goes to a, my fucking 5-year-old son goes to a barber shop, and I cannot get him a haircut for less than 30 in New York City.
What virtue is a garbage haircut? Is everyone like, oh, I want a candidate who gets a $4 haircut? This is in the 1920s in a middle of nowhere town where there's a barber shop, and he's almost dying cutting your hair for $4. Let's get nice haircuts. They're all very rich.
Sure. We're in New York.
And one of my favorite things is that all of these Republicans in their little tweets were basically like, it was so adorably like they were realizing what the pink tax was, which was that women pay twice as much very often for very common services, one of them being haircuts and highlights. Do men get highlights?
No, I
get
and here's why. Because men are allowed to be, fucking Charlie walks around like with this gorgeous silver fox situation.
It's lovely.
Guys, he's so attractive. I married him, so I can say it. Mm-hmm. But like, I can't walk around with gray hair. And
my haircut
my 30s.
Is $20, $25 with tip.
Future president Scott Walker over there.
Yes. And imagine what we could do with all that money. Like, we could have pooled all our money and bought like Susan Collins a spine. You know, we could have like bought Scott Walker.
It would cost more than that, Liz.
It probably is a lot of money. But think about how much money we have as women with our, you know, hair. Dry cleaning is also more expensive.
Yes.
Very often you'll go to a dry cleaner and it'll be like women's shirts. They have a special
like
name,
whatever,
you know, like blouse. And then it's like half as much. You're like, that's the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's very unfair.
And it's also frustrating because our standards are different. Like, we can't go out without our hair and makeup done.
Yes.
And if it's done in an incorrect way and we don't look good, then we get slaughtered for
slaughtered.
It. So first of all, I will just say anyone who lives in New York that is listening to this listens to an $80 haircut and thinks that's very moderately priced.
This tease.
It's not the cheapest. It's not great clips. Right. But if I went into dramatics as a walk-in on 8th Avenue, it would be $65.
100%.
So 80 is like the cheapest you can get in New York for like an appointment.
Mm-hmm. Starting to worry this podcast is in the bubble.
But I'm just saying.
This might be a coastal elite podcast over here.
But like if I wanted to get my hair cut in Columbus, Ohio at the nicest salon, it would be like 70.
Right.
Yeah, no, of course. But you know? What I think the craziest part of this is, like, all of these Republican, conservative, like, men have wives who also do this?
Yes.
They don't know how much their wives
But they don't know, exactly.
But I'm saying, why was...
Charlie, you don't know. It's a lot.
You know,
break down the secret.
Sorry.
I have an idea. Maybe, like, reporters from the Washington Examiner or whatever, the conservative newspaper wrote that. Maybe they should follow female congresswomen, like, at their wax appointment so then men can know how much we have to spend to just have sex with you.
Yes.
Yeah.
To literally get a bikini wax, it's like... $40 to fucking get your charge waxed.
That's where they're double dip. Like $40. Like if you want them not to double dip, therefore give you like chlamydia, you have to pay $60 or $65.
Justin, how much are you paying for your waxes?
Did you say double dip? You pay
double dip.
Double
you
dip
pay
meaning,
more
no,
to
less.
Not have
no,
a double
no, no,
dip?
No, no, no. You
double
pay
dip.
More to not have a double dip.
Double dip
double
is they take the wooden thing and they
put it back.
This
they
is
put
a
it
fucking
on
crime.
And then they put it back.
You're being extorted.
It's gross.
There should be no double dip premise.
There shall be never any double dipping.
If there's a double dipping situation, if anybody needs a good waxer, I have an amazing waxer in Koreatown. She is phenomenal. I've been going to her for years.
Okay, Justin.
I forget how much my wax is. let's see. I have several waxers on the. I don't know how any of this works.
See? And,
yeah.
So we brought
Scott
up.
Walker needs. Oh, sorry.
We brought up AOC. So last thing I want to talk about tonight is that AOC and Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib came out and endorsed Bernie, I guess, last night. I'm curious.
They're doing it on Saturday officially, I think. At his...
Okay. Yeah, he has a rally in Queens this weekend. So there's a lot of... I think Cody and I are both worried about a repeat of 2016 and the fracture and the Democratic Party, which was Bernie Hillary then and now is maybe going to be Bernie Warren, or we'll see how it all plays out. But there's a lot of tweeting, and I'm just... Do you guys think we're going to all be able to get along and get behind the same candidate and not be taking this all the way until like June of next year where we're still fighting each other like we were in 2016?
Yes, I think everyone's going to be fine.
You think we're going to be all right?
Thanks, Dad.
There's
Thanks.
No, well, not to be like, it's take your hands off the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel. I think we will have had 4 years under Trump at that time, and I think everyone is going to get it a little bit more. I think we don't remember how innocuous we thought Trump was back then and how it was like a joke.
We didn't think he was going to win.
We didn't think he was going to win, and how everyone was just so sure Hillary was going to win and didn't realize the grave consequences, and also didn't realize how like truly hated Hillary was in a vast portion of this country.
Vaginas are terrorists.
But her vagina in particular was hated, right?
I agree with your vaginal terrorism stance and website and Facebook group especially. But no, I think specifically Hillary was truly hated in a way that I think it wasn't just the Democrat. It was Hillary specifically. And I think we will move beyond that. And this is a very secret hope to say in a microphone, but I do think that we're going to have a crazy turnout, and I think we're going to have a crazy just alignment within the Democratic Party of like, whoa, that was fucked up. Let's fix this in 2020.
Well, I think the memorable phrase in 2016 was the lesser two evils. Yeah. And I don't think that there's any candidate who was on that stage last night who is in the same category as Hillary was in 2016. Like, I feel if Bernie doesn't get the nomination, if Elizabeth Warren gets it, then people will vote for her. Yeah. If Joe Biden gets it, people will vote for him because they've already lived through 3.5 years of Donald Trump.
If Tulsi Gabbard gets it, people will just lay face down in the road for the rest of their lives.
I mean, are you guys reading the same Twitter as I am? Liz, what do you think?
Democrats fall in love, conservatives fall in line. And I think that we have to stop with our bullshit. And I've interviewed a lot of conservatives, God bless them, and they are a lot of things. But one of the things that I've noticed through talking to them is that they're extremely tolerant of each other. And I'm getting very serious because I think this is very important. they like value difference, yeah. And we cancel difference, right? We try prove ourselves, exactly.
Which is really funny, yeah. Because we're supposed to be the party of differences.
Exactly, exactly. And so by being very virtuous and like and virtue signaling ourselves through who we hate in saying that he's not a real progressive or she's not a real feminist, we actually are really hurting ourselves. And conservatives are not dumb, and that's why they're winning. And like we have the right policies, we have the right policies for every single demographic, including white men, by the way. And we should talk about that as well as women and people of color. We have the best policies for everyone. And so we can't just have the best policies, we have to win. And that requires us putting our little feelings aside and just, falling in line with whoever is nominee.
I 100% agree with you. Do you think that's going to happen?
It needs to happen. We need to get in, like, whip it in shape. It needs to happen.
I totally agree with you.
You need to tell your friends.
And I agree. Yeah. I 100% agree. But I've already seen the line go
exactly.
Between Warren and Sanders.
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
And I see people on both sides of the Warren-Sanders debate. These people are pretty much identical candidates in a lot of ways.
100%.
And I see both people on both sides in their camps against one or the other.
And the Sanders
are
worse.
And I'm like,
are
you fucking kidding me?
And the Bernie
Get in
Sanders
line.
People
Who cares?
Especially, need to, and this is through like anecdotal, experience of people telling me that they, like Bernie Sanders volunteers and supporters are just extremely sometimes antagonistic towards other, and we need to just not do that. Like, let's not do that. The right has enough things that they're coming at us with.
I totally agree with you, except you called my feelings little a minute ago, so I'm going to vote for Marianne Williamson and whatever ceramic wizard figurine she chooses to run
I'm
with her.
Into that. I'm so into that.
Sorry, but you said little feelings, and
big
I just can't.
Just manage your feelings. I'm not saying don't have feelings. Manage them.
I think we need to end on that white male fragility that is Justin Tyler.
And I want to end on a Marianne Williamson endorsement, too.
What's that?
We want to end on a Marianne Williamson.
Yes, let's all back the future third-party candidate, Marianne Williamson.
Perfect.
And the Gandalf, the tiny 6-inch ceramic figure that we'll be running.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for our amazing panel tonight. Liz Plank, Nick Jack Pappas, and Justin Tyler. Thank you guys for coming out tonight, and we're a podcast. Check out our podcast. Listen to future episodes. Give us a review. Give us a rating on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. And do not forget to vote,
In midterm elections.
Good night, everybody. Thanks a lot.
Cody and Charlie and a few of their friends chug a couple beers and talk politics. It's better when you're two beers in.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.